Well, today is an opportunity to celebrate what God has and is doing in and amongst us. As I said earlier, there are about 80 people engaged and rooted and started way back in January. Can you believe it? It is warm out. It wasn't so warm then. We're just elated about that. Yeah, we are, really are. So, but rooted is this, again, this material that's kind of phrased around some basic questions of faith, but also some basic fundamentals of the church. It's called Rooted because those who wrote it borrowed from our brother Paul from Colossians chapter 2. Let me read this to you. So then, just as you received Christ Jesus as Lord, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness. See to it that no one takes you captive through hollow and deceptive philosophy, which depends on human tradition and the elemental spiritual forces of this world, rather than Jesus Christ. For in Christ, all the fullness of the deity lives in bodily form, and in Christ you have been brought to fullness. So in 10 weeks, individuals passed through several different lessons that helped them to wrestle with these foundational beliefs that are found in it, engaging the Bible, extending a time of prayer, service projects, and then just this wonderful opportunity to engage not only the material and not only to read about the Bible, but to really contend with, if you will, whether what they're reading and what they're wrestling with inside of community is really true. And so, as many have reflected, for the prayer experience was one of those that it was refreshing and new. And some had been in the church for a long time and had participated in prayer, but had become maybe grown tired in that area, that exercise. And so it became refreshing. Others found this material as reviving not only what we're doing collectively as a church body, as a community of believers here in Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor, but also just the reviving of their own dreams and visions of what God is and what he wants them to do. I find that just so much like our Lord. One of the weeks that individuals traveled through, they got to serve together. And so in the groups picked where they got to do go and to engage in, a couple of our groups engaged in one of our sister churches with their dinner church Detroit. And some of us know Mark and Mary Kreiderman, and we're able to engage them in different ways. And I thought that that was very, very cool just to be able to connect with them. Some had the opportunity to minister to Estabrook Elementary, which is a school that we are like in, we own, we pray for. It's kind of ours. We kind of claim it. And they were able to serve the staff. And the incredible thing that if you've been there and you know this, they just look on this as kind of a soothing balm in the midst of just the climate and culture that we live in. And so this service project not only was bonding for the individuals, but also became this opportunity to see Jesus continue and the continuance of the kingdom where we're going. And some of us served here, extending our reach in the days ahead. Well, it's just a wonderful experience, but I want to take a moment before we have individuals come up and share. I want to take a moment and thank the Rooted facilitators who stepped out and stepped into giving of themselves not only in the 10 weeks, but the opportunities the experiences that were a part of it, and gave of themselves to make sure that that was happening. In fact, one of the examples or one of the testimonies, if you will, are the cardboard testimonies back in the lobby that you can look at and take and flip over and see how the Lord has mightily moved in people's lives. And so I would just encourage you to see God's handiwork in the midst of all of that. So kind of to frame these next just three stories of individuals and the impact that God made in them, was already making in them, don't misunderstand what the material is, but was already making in them, enrooted and through rooted. I want to frame it from Paul's words to the Ephesians found in chapter 2. This is often considered, there's a word in it in the Greek that is where we get our word poem from. But it's continuing to be written, this handiwork of God on people's lives. And so I want us to understand that this is a framework of what's happening as we engage and encounter the Spirit of the living God, His Word, and His community. It says this in Ephesians 2, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. This is not from yourself. It is a gift of God. It's God's work in you, not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork. We are God's poem being written even now, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do." I want you to hear, before Eric comes out, just one written cardboard testimony that's not out there. It says this: "I was part of the pilot group for Rooted. In this current Rooted group I was part of, I experienced continued healing of my stronghold of fear and also anger. I have seen God at work out a situation concerning my work and relieve some stress that I had been experiencing. He continues to show me that he is both aware and in control of my life. I really love the Rooted groups and the closeness with my brothers and sisters in Christ." Eric, if you would come out and share your story. I'm going to grab a mic. Grab this one down here.
Hey, so I'm Eric. So my story has kind of started before Rooted started, back in November, with applying to pharmacy school. So God already did miracles back in November with my PCAT with that test. But Rooted really came into this later part of actually applying and sending in the applications. I had sent in 12 applications, expecting to only get 2 or 3 interviews. And within like the first 3 days, I got 10 interviews back. Yeah. And so we'll learn real quick that my stronghold from week five, is insecurity. So right off the bat, when I got 10 interviews, I was like, ooh, that's not good. I turned God's blessing into doubt. I thought that, 10 interviews, great on paper, not going to do good with any of them, though. So that went, cool. The top school I applied to was University of Michigan. Really didn't expect to get into it, though. They're the number 3 pharmacy school. And I just kind of threw the application out there to say I applied. And later in the week after I heard, I got an email from them inviting me to the interview. Blew my mind. Really didn't expect it to happen. And the interview was 6 days away. So not a long time to prepare at all for it. So luckily that week I had a lot of time to prepare with my boss, who he works for U of M for the pharmacy school and has done interviews before for students. So he told me a lot of questions to prepare, what to expect. He's also with working for U of M. We have a bunch of students who come to our pharmacy, and they were able to give me a whole bunch of information, what to expect, how to prepare. So I felt really good going into it. I knew I had a lot of people praying for me going into this. Day of interview comes, two different interviews, and I was somewhat advised to not talk about church in the interviews, but church is such a big part of my life that I couldn't. So the first interview, we had a pretty lengthy discussion in about what I do with worship and the other ministries, and just 15 minutes talking about church. So after the interviews, though, I felt pretty good. I was happy with it, felt confident. And then they said I would know within a week. And then a couple days went by, and that insecurity started to come back of doubt of, oh, I'm not good enough. My scores, my GPA, my degree, none of it's good enough. I'm not going to get in the U of M. What am I thinking? I'm dumb. I'm awful. I'm not getting in anywhere. So that's where I stood. So they said I would know within 7 days. So 7 days came, and I still hadn't heard. So I was like, oh, that's not a good sign. Not getting in. So the next day, I was on my way to another interview, the Fair State. And I got the email from U of M saying, I got in. Yeah. And it was kind of, I was in shock. Like, my dad was driving, and I was like, I just got in the U of M. And then, if you guys know my dad, he's deaf. And it took him three tries to hear what I said. And then he was like, no way. And I was like, no way. So that was cool and all. And then, you know, more doubt came into my head. One of the requirements for the program, I slightly had a different class than what they expected, and I was like, oh no, they're gonna come back and say that I don't meet the requirements, and they're gonna reject me now, and I have the admission, but they're gonna say, no, never mind. So I had that doubt, and even going back a little bit, in the week that I was waiting, one of the girls that I had interviewed with had replied to an email I sent, just like a thank you for interviewing email, and she had talked about how she really enjoyed and liked that I was so bold about my faith, and liked that I had shared about church and what I do, and just thought it was really cool. And so in my doubt of that week, I had the thought of, well, is this why God gave me this opportunity, the interview at U of M, for this one lady, just to have this impact on her life? And I really had to make that decision of if that was all it was, that it was worth it, that this has been my dream for 8 years to go to U of M. So that was hard to accept, that this might just be for her. And
you, Dad, give me these crying jeans.
Yeah, you never cry. But yeah, so it was really hard to not be selfish in that moment of, if this is for her and not for me, let it be. But yeah, even since I've gotten in, I've had continual blessing from God. I got an internship already at Sam's Club Pharmacy, where I currently work, which is a huge blessing, because getting internships is super hard around here in any year of pharmacy school. An internship right off the bat from the beginning of pharmacy school is a huge blessing, which majority of students don't get. So yeah, it's just God's been through this every step of the way, and just doing things that I know I definitely couldn't do by myself, because I'm definitely not smart enough or good enough for U of M. So.
So in this process, God's working through you. He's taking the material and, you know, making it app, you know, applying it right away.
Definitely.
How does community play into the community that you were a part of with Rooted, play into this this processing?
So even though that the entire process was within 2 weeks that I applied and got in, it was really nice to have that community of Rooted, of walking that journey with them. That it was more than just my journey of getting in. That, like, I know, like, Jacqueline was very into it. She was confident that I was in U of M before I even interviewed, I feel. And same with Ray Bell. He was right off the bat. He was like, oh, you've got it. You're already in. But it was really nice just to be able to go through and walk it with them and experience everything with them and sharing it with them. And when I got in that weekend, I was away. I missed a Rooted group that weekend because I was at another interview. So the next Sunday, it was really cool to have my Rooted group come up to me and be excited and carry that journey with me.
Yeah. Well, thanks again, Eric, for sharing how God is continuing to work in us and through us. Sometimes in spite of what we think and feel, and he reveals things to us, right, that are pretty incredible, that he's able to wrestle with, wrestle down, that we can't. So thank you. Thank you for sharing. It is rather interesting that we journey through life, and oftentimes if we're not careful, we can journey through life by ourselves. And so to be able to not only celebrate the joys, but also to be with us in the sorrows is a necessity that God has written into the very DNA of who we are. And sometimes we don't know that until we fall into it. We find it in that place. Jacqueline Sturgeon is going to come now and share her story. And we just have, many of us know, we've been journeying with the Sturgeons now for a while, and just love to see how the Lord is continuing to change and transform. Yes.
Hi, I'm Jacqueline Sturgeon, a.k.a. Henry's mom. My story is my whole story. I have the privilege and honor, I think, the blessing, to have been raised in a Christian home, and I thank you for that. Both my parents were believers. Around the age of 8, which is pretty young, I asked Jesus to come into my life, and I was baptized. From that time on, I lived kind of like a lukewarm, you know, kind of relationship with Christ. I was a believer. I went to church, was part of the youth group, leader of the youth group. But I didn't have the type of relationship that I'd hoped for, the one that I thought just naturally occurred when you said yes. Well, when I was a teenager, my mother was diagnosed with MS, and I became angry. And I didn't realize how angry I was. I was angry at God, and I was angry at the world. And I was one of those self-imploded angry. I didn't rebel. I didn't get into mischief, but I was angry. And I wasn't shy about that. I remember having a conversation with one of my dear friends who was also in the youth group and telling her how angry at God I was and how could he have done this to us. And I didn't want anybody else around. Our church family brought us dinners, and I thought, how dare they? We can handle this on our own. I don't need this. We don't need them. I've got this. But I didn't. And so life continued on, and we got married, and my breaking point finally hit when I became a mom. As I stood in the kitchen at 4 a.m. with my wailing newborn baby on my chest, I broke. I'd always dreamed of the day I'd become a mom. I thought it was truly my purpose in life to be a mom. I had hoped and prayed for this baby for years, and here I was, failing. I couldn't comfort my child, and that was it. Where was I? I began sobbing and crying to God, help me, help me. You gave me this blessing. What do I do now? And he wrapped his arms of comfort around me and said it was okay. That day, God began to work hardcore on my life. He started the change process that I needed. I asked God to help deepen our relationship, and he gave me his word. I began reading through the Gospels with our church family, and my thirst was being quenched and spurred on in new ways I'd never imagined. But life didn't stand still, and another trial was on the horizon. In July of 2018, my husband, Pete, was diagnosed with cancer, and we started chemo that following fall. It was a long few months that included the illness and death of my grandmother and much family strife. I was relieved to see the beginning of the end of 2018 to put the past behind us. 2019 was going to be a new year. But little did I know that the relief of that year being gone was just building that wall higher, the anger, the bitterness, and letting it go. God uses circumstances to get my attention. He doesn't use a burning bush. He uses circumstances. And although my relationship with him was beginning to grow, I needed to continue to change. I needed to remove the bitterness, to ask for forgiveness. It took my husband reveling in what an amazing 2018 had been for me to finally get it. When he looked at me one night and said, 2018 has been so amazing. I looked at him and thought, have you been asleep? cancer, chemo, any of that ring a bell? Apparently not, because in that one statement, God was showing me how he was there. In every way through my life, he had been there. Through the struggles of my teenage years, the anger and the bitterness, he'd always been there. I looked at struggles in life as something to be avoided, but I was missing out on God's greatest work. I needed the trials to help me mature. Each and every trial was really his triumph. Each situation, God was working in me and through me, pursuing me to have a relationship that my 8-year-old heart said yes to. Though his work is far from being done in me, I can stand here today in forgiveness with a joyful heart, overflowing with gratitude because I'm a new creation in Christ.
Again, just the simple question, how did community become a catalyst for the continuance of the work of God in you?
I can't thank you all enough. Last fall, it was different. I wasn't angry at God this time. But without this community, without this church family, I don't know where we would have been. The meals, the prayer, the continued support, and it wasn't just the Rooted group, it's this church family, and I can't thank you all enough. The community that we've found here, we really truly feel like this is family, and that we're home.
Yeah, you are home. Okay. Thanks. You may be kind of catching a little bit of a theme, God's work, but he continues to kind of press it in and through the midst of people that are traveling in the same direction, the desire to love God with all their heart, mind, soul, and strength, and to love one another as God is loving them, you know? And it's just an incredible thing. I'm going to invite Sean Howard to come forward, and we're going to do this one a little bit differently. Sean, we had a nice conversation over a meal earlier this week, and we just decided to do it a little bit differently. So, Sean, tell us what has been happening, not just in Rooted, but really, what has been happening the last 18 months?
All right. So, first off, Pastor Steve sent me a scenario. Hey, do you want to come speak in front of the group? Really not sure what I was more nervous about, speaking in front of everyone or getting the Howard family here on time for church. If anyone knows us knows we are never on time. So we did get here on time, which is great. So basically, I flip houses for a living, do home remodeling. That's kind of what I do. 2018 was a little tough for us. We got houses, but man, trying to sell them was really tough. So I'm all excited for 2019. I've got 4 basement jobs lined up. We're ready to go. It's like I'm booked out through like June. Just about the time we start Rooted, I find out that 3 of them get postponed through none of my fault. Actually, one of my best clients, who I love to death, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma, and he's 32 kids. So if you can pray for him, I'm kind of in a panic now. And Rooted's going on, and just a little bit about Rooted. I'm not a small group guy at all. Kind of really don't care for them, and never have. But a couple weeks before Rudy even came out, I said, man, we really need to get in a small group. Me and my wife, we've got to kind of do this. I don't know why, but I'm feeling that. And Pastor Steve's like, Rudy, I turn to my wife. I'm like, hey, you know what? We really need to do this. I really feel it. And she didn't answer because she fainted, obviously. I mean, she was clearly that stunned that, oh, my gosh, she's actually wanting to go to Bible study. So that's kind of so we ended up starting that. And so I'm like a few weeks go by, I'm searching the internet, I'm calling everyone I know, nothing's coming along. I'm like, wow, it's gonna be tough. So there's something, we're so en route, and they're talking about, man, just gotta trust God and he's gonna provide for you. It really struck me. So maybe not that week, but the week after I'm in bed, I'm like, you know what? I just need to let go and trust God and he's gonna provide. Even if it meant that I'm going to get out of this business altogether, whatever he has planned for me, I'm just going to trust it. And the weirdest feeling is like I literally felt calm. And I've sat in those seats and heard people up here, and I'm a skeptic. I always, it's always like, oh, it's chance, it's luck, it's this. But man, I'm telling you, I really felt calmness about me. And so I'm at my second vacation home, which is Home Depot. And because I pretty much live there. So I'm there, and I run into some acquaintance of mine, and I'm like, hey, what's going on? How you doing? He's in the trades, too. He's like, oh, yeah, just, here getting stuff. And I'm like, he asked me, so how you doing? Now, normally me, I'm going to be like, I'm doing great. Everything's fantastic. I'm never going to say, oh. And I'm like, look, I'm struggling. Like, I cannot find a house. He's like, really? He's like, my boss's son's looking to sell one. I'm like, okay, it's going to be a Marquette or something. It's in Ypsilanti, which is primarily where we do most of our flips. So my boss is with me. So I go talk to him, and he's like, yeah, when do you want to look at it? I'm like, a month ago would have been great, but now would be great. So we actually go over there and look at it. And sure enough, I walk in. I mean, the roof needs to be done. All the gutters are falling down. It's peeling. You walk in, there's trash everywhere. Smells, it's horrible. So, of course, I'm thinking to myself, man, this is perfect for us. Perfect. Sure enough, we put an offer in. We buy the house. It's the current project that we're working on. So, having been one that has been skeptical, now it's like, it's just a praise God that he put these people in our way, and things are going, and now we've actually picked up more stuff and things are going really well.
So you were walking through the weeks and rooted, and there was one week that stood out to you. What was it? Why?
So basically, I grew up as Catholic. I was baptized as a little baby and did the catechism and all that, and then accepted Jesus into my life. And always consider baptism kind of if you get around to it, if you do it. But week 10, there's a line in there that says, without a doubt, if you are a believer in Christ, you need to get baptized. So that one really stuck with me, having thought preconceived notion of it's kind of an optional thing to where that it's really not. So in the process now of figuring out a good time to get baptized.
Yeah. I just revel in your story because we've been doing life, if you will, in some ways here together for a while. And I think you told me that when I texted you and said, hey, do you want to have lunch? I have a few things I want to talk to you about. Your first response would have been normally.
Oh, no way. No way. I'll be honest, the first time I've ever been in front of, on stage in church in my entire life. Yeah. And if you'd have asked me at any point in time, would I ever be here? I'd have said never. It's just, but like the last few years, there's been a lot of change going on with me, obviously for the better. So yeah. It's been a fantastic journey.
Yeah, so, the evidence of Jesus' work, of the Holy Spirit's work, comes in just a colorful array of ways, and, I just want you to see the handiwork. I just want you to hear the handiwork, not of the individuals, but of what God is doing, and the surrender that makes it available to happen. It's just a wonderful thing. Thanks, Sean.
Awesome.
Thanks for sharing.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Thank you.